just seeing so many people on worship. I know we have a massive team, but I was just thinking, like, it's not one person doing the show. You know, it's a whole bunch of hands and everything. I just want to say well done to everyone on the worship team. I really felt like the Lord wanted to say, like, you served us. So, cool. So this isn't our com is going to be laughing because this is the same word I shared at Danoon last week. So you guys need to have a lot of grace. But I think a cool opportunity. I think we went over to Luke and Zandi's place for O'Brien, and I was sharing a bit about it, and Luke just felt like this is a word for us as well. So I think from my side, I want to follow the Spirit on, like, what is God saying to us, not necessarily what did he say to Danoon. I really am encouraged, and I'm excited for this word, and I feel like it is following through with what the Lord's been saying this morning. Danoon was epic. I had a translator. That was a unique experience. I mean, I haven't preached a lot, and then to throw in a translator, we had to pray for him more than he had to pray for me. It was funny, though. Like, when I lifted up my hand, he lifted up his hand. When I went down, he went down. So they're really good. I think they do that every single Sunday, actually.
You guys need to have a lot of grace.
It was a cool experience. Even the people sharing the words, like in Tando, Larissa, everyone was like, when do I speak, when do I not? So, yeah, it was a cool experience. Go visit Danoon, guys. So it's really an epic congregation. What is God saying? And to see what God's doing.
Not necessarily what did he say to Danoon.
Before I start, I felt to recognize maybe some people that a lot's been happening in many of us, but maybe you felt like you've fallen a bit behind, like you've missed something, maybe you missed something last week, and you feel like there's a bit of competition that you need to, like, step in. I mean, I just want to say, like, God is, it's a journey, and we're on a journey.
Funny, though, like,
actually, Dave, do you mind quickly come in and share that word you shared about the process? Sorry, a bit of a last minute one. Dave had a word a moment ago. Just about it being a process.
Yeah, it was a cool experience. Even the people sharing the words.
Yeah, during worship, I just saw a picture of one of those wine pressing vats where, you know, you're standing and crushing the grapes and that type of thing. And I feel some of us, maybe we feel like we're grapes where we're kind of being pressed on all sides or crushed, or we don't know what process God's taking us through. But there's a pure wine that he wants to release through you. But the crushing process, I never checked with grapes, but it doesn't look fun. And so I think if you're in it and you're feeling like, God, I don't know how much longer I can go through this, I think there's a grace he's bringing, and you're going to bless others through that crushing process. So.
Yeah, so be encouraged. The process is not over. And God's refining each and every one of us. So basically the word I felt for Danoon, which I think is the same for all of us, was that Danoon was called to be a mighty congregation, and specifically to be faith giants, okay? And I think all of us want to be faith giants. We all want to have this thing of, like, yo, when I end this race, I've ended it as a giant in the faith, as someone that can, and not for my glory, but just to know that I put my faith in Jesus and I did it. But I think it can be really intimidating when we actually go on the journey of trying to live our faith, and we don't always feel at all like faith giants. But I wanted to look into that, and so you can't jump in here. But who are some of the faith giants of the Old Testament? Maybe just shout some names out. Moses, Abraham, Jacob, David. What were some of them? So, like, what does Moses? What do we know Moses for?
A mighty congregation.
Ten Commandments, the Red Sea. Okay, what do we know?
All of us want to be.
Because what do we know David for?
Want to have this thing of, like, yo,
that's the right answer. But he also killed Goliath. he killed Goliath. Enoch.
I put my faith in Jesus and I did it.
But I taken up, eh? Quite radical, yeah.
And we don't always.
Abraham.
But I wanted to look into that.
Yeah, so, he was asked to sacrifice his son, and he was obedient to that. He didn't have to in the end.
But who are some of the faith giants?
And so with all of these big names, it's easy to see their big moments,
Abraham,
parting the Red Sea and all of those things.
Jacob,
but what David, does God see these guys as? So let me read a few. So Enoch was known by God for, because he walked faithfully with God.
Ten Commandments, the Red Sea.
Noah, he was known as a righteous man that walked faithfully with God.
What do you know David for?
Abraham, he was called God's friend.
That's the right answer.
Moses,
he also killed Goliath.
It says that the Lord would speak to Moses as one to a friend.
Enoch,
David, God said, I found him after my own heart. Nice. And he'll do everything that I want him to do. And the word I felt, and I think it's for all of us, is like as we're going and as we're doing all these things, I think it's sometimes easy to get caught up with this idea that if you're doing radical things for the Lord, therefore you are a faith giant. And what these faith giants were known for was just walking with the Father every single day. And if we take Jesus as our example, John 5:19.
So Enoch was known by God for... because he walked faithfully with God. Okay? Noah, he was known as John 5:19, walked faithfully with God.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's Galatians.
Abraham, he was called God's friend.
Can you quickly get John 5:19? Sorry.
It says that the Lord would speak to Moses as one to a friend. David, God said,
it's quite a key scripture.
So my own heart.
Let's wait for it.
And he'll do everything that I want him to do. And the word I felt, and I think it's for all of us, is like as we're going and as we're doing all these things, I think it's sometimes easy to get caught up with this idea that if you're doing radical things for the Lord, therefore you are a faith giant.
5:1.
And what these faith giants were known for was just walking with the Father every single day. And if we take Jesus as our example.
There we go. Nice. Okay. So Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Okay. So Jesus... God incarnate can only do what he sees the Father doing. And he says, I actually can't do anything unless I am in communion with the Father and know what he's doing.
Let's wait for it.
And I think you could have like come out of the womb a Christian. Like Dave, I think, has been walking with God since he was like 12 years old. Or you could have got saved the other day. And I think the same thing applies, is that it's about remaining in Christ. There is John 15:5.
There we go. Nice. Okay. So Jesus gave them the...
says that I'm the vine, you are the branches.
Tell you the truth.
If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. So again, this thing of like, guys, we can't actually do anything unless we remain in him. And remaining him in today doesn't mean that I'm going to be in him tomorrow. And then the next day. So there is this concept and this understanding that we've got to understand that as of today, right now, today is the day that I'm going to remain in the Lord. Today is the day that I'm going to be in the Lord. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday, who you prophesied over, today is the day that I'm going to be in the Lord. And that's what Jesus understood very clearly, and he tried to get that through. And you've got years and years of, or generations of, church movements and all of these things that have got caught up with the extras, and we've forgotten that actually one of the... the sole purpose of actually being on this earth is to walk with our Father. But it might sound very simple, and maybe you wanted the secret sauce this morning, but I find it quite hard. I don't find it super easy to, every moment of the day, actually walk in communion with the Father. And so I felt, let's talk a bit about that. And I think one of the reasons I find it quite hard is that actually I've got years and years of not really walking very well with God. And so I've trained up myself to walk in my own ways. But we'll look into Scripture for that. So how do we do this? Galatians 5:16-17. Okay, so it says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. Who knows that feeling where you're like, why did I do that? Like, I really don't want to do that, and I did it. I don't know why I did it. And that is the flesh and the Spirit, and they war against each other. And they're like this, and they're just, it's like oil and water. They don't actually work together. And so there's this thing that Galatians, Paul is saying, like, we've got to learn to be people that walk by the Spirit. It's so easy to just say, hey, just walk by the Spirit, But what does that actually look like, and how do we actually grow that muscle of walking by the Spirit? Because it is a muscle.
Okay.
Galatians 6:8, and I think this is actually the key. It says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life.
Who knows that feeling?
And there's this understanding that if I sow to my flesh,
really don't
keep sowing to my flesh, what's going to come back? Destruction. And it's a spiral, and it's going to keep going. And if I sow to the Spirit, what will come back is eternal life. And so it's not this once-off moment. with God. It's this constant, actually, I'm going to start to give to the Spirit. I'm going to give to the Spirit. And I do believe it is a muscle that we can grow. And it's exciting.
Actually grow that muscle of walking by the Spirit.
And I just felt to try and clarify a bit what sowing to the Spirit actually is. So I just put words to it. It's my definition. It's not biblical. But it's inevitably, it's because I think sometimes we think that it's doing spiritual things. It's like, cool, I'm going to go to church, you know, wake up early and read my Bible, I'm going to go to comm. I think it's actually, so it's even gaining knowledge. Sometimes books, we think, okay, cool, if I can just read more books about God, I'm going to grow in my spirituality. But actually, it's giving yourself to what will feed up your soul. Jeans and I recently have been grappling over this side topic, but Jesus says, my food is to do the will of the Father. Like, what does that mean? You know, my food is to do the will of the Father. Anyway, side topic, but something just to think about. Like, what feeds us and what actually truly gives us life? And if we're eating of something, it's going to give us life and we're going to walk. And but to simplify it, I believe it's just turning our desires, our worship, our love, and our will towards the Lord. So when you're sowing to the flesh, okay, our desires, our love, our worship, and our will is to ourselves and to the things of this world. When you're sowing to the Spirit, our desires, our love, our will, and our worship will be to the Spirit and to the Lord and to everything that is His. So that's how you can start to navigate. What are you sowing to at what point in your journey?
What does that mean, you know?
And since we're talking about that, and talking about learning to hear from the Lord and walk with Him, like what's stopping us now? And I thought, let's just take a moment, and it's training that muscle that in every moment, even while there's a preach, the Lord's speaking, but it's to be in tune with Him, and to recognize that He's saying something to each one of us. So it's training that muscle. So we're going to activate that now. And I just thought, let's close our eyes, and let's just let the Lord, let His presence sit.
Okay,
so just take a moment, let the Lord's presence sit in you.
And our will,
like we're here for Him, we're not here for anything else.
And to the things of this
world. So we want to connect
Spirit,
with Him.
Our desires, our love, our will, and our worship will be to the Spirit and to the Lord and to everything that is His. So that's how you can start to navigate. What are you sowing to at what point?
Just recognize Him.
And since we're talking about that,
invite
talking
him
about learning to hear from the Lord and walk with Him, like, what's stopping us now? And I thought, let's just take a moment. And it's training that muscle that in every moment, even while there's a preach, the Lord's speaking.
Cool. And I'm going to continue. But as I continue, like, just keep checking with the Father. He's always speaking to you.
So we're gonna
He's always talking to you. And like I said, it is a muscle. So as we learn and grow, we learn to hear Him a lot more. Cool.
The Lord's presence sits.
Okay.
We're here for Him. We're not here for
but walking with Him does look different for each of us because we're each in different places. So if you got saved yesterday, you're in a different place to then if you got saved 10 years ago, you know. So walking with Him, while it looks different, I felt that we should just touch on a few of those things that you might, the phase that you might be in and what that looks like so that we can actually keep that close line to the Father. Okay, so the first one is, and the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to compare it to Jeans and I's marriage. So we're coming up on 2 years. Yeah, we got a wealth of wisdom. Cam and Shanae, we can help you guys. There they are, welcome back. I'm going to use this as like an extended metaphor to hopefully help really drill it home. So I liked Jean for over 6 years before we started dating. It wasn't always the same way. And it took a long time. And for about 6 years, the first time I met her, I was like, I think my prayer was, God, I don't mind if I don't marry her. I just want one chance to be in relationship with her and see what happens. And so I fought with God for that. But it wasn't possible for various reasons. Either she wasn't ready, I wasn't ready, the Lord was clearly saying it wasn't time. And I'm very grateful for that, actually. Very grateful, because it would have done a lot of damage if we got into a relationship earlier on. And then there was this moment where I played a bit of hard to get. I went over to America for an exchange, came back, and all of a sudden, like, the doors had opened, and I don't know. It was the Lord. But it felt like the Lord had said, okay, like, there's an opportunity here, and I'm actually pleased with this place that both of you are in, and I affirm this. And, like, my eyes were just, I was just like, wow, this is incredible. It's like the doors actually opened. I couldn't actually believe it. And that's coming to know that the Lord has made a way. I do feel to talk to people that maybe don't actually know the Lord this morning. Like, you might not actually believe that the door is open to you. And actually, there's a scripture in Hebrews 7:25 that says, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. To the uttermost. That means it does not matter who you are and what you've done. He is able to save. Yeah, it's up there. To the uttermost. What does this say? Like, able to save completely and those who come to God through him. And just to say, like, the door is open. And then the next part of the journey came with Jeans and I, where I was like, okay. And I started to get to know her, started to actually ask, like, okay, is this someone that I actually would want to marry? Is she someone that I would like to live the rest of my life with? And that's the grapple before we then say, you know what, actually, yes, Lord. I put my hand up and I say, I want you to save me. And I want you to come and be and live in my life. So I'm comparing it to that. So that you might be also in the place where you do not believe. So you believe God, the door's open. But you don't believe that if you draw near to him, that he'll draw near to you. And there's a scripture that says in Hebrews 11:6. Says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I started to get to know him, started to actually ask, like, okay, is this someone? And that was as I started pursuing Jean and I started getting to know her, there was this reciprocation where I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, as I lean in, she leans in. And I actually have this reward where actually I start to realize how incredible she is and how much I love being with her. And it's the same with the Father. When we lean in, he leans in, and we start to get this reward of relationship with him. And so I felt to say that a sign... Oh, wait. I'm in the right place. There we go. Then there was the time where I said, okay, I want to marry you. And proposed to her, and that's like ultimately for me saying, cool, Lord, would you come into my heart? And then the baptism was like the marriage. It's like, this is the public display. It's like the baptism. It's like, okay, you are now a husband, you know? And in Christ, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, you are now a follower of Jesus. Like, go, and we're going to celebrate that, and we're going to back you, and you're in this. So if you haven't, if you've put up your hand and you've said, Lord, yes, I want you, but you haven't been baptized, I'd say, like, it's such a core part of our faith. It's so such a pivotal moment to basically celebrate what God is doing and not just be like half in, half out. It's like, Lord, my whole life, everything, my obedience as well is with you, not just my words and what's going on in my heart. Cool. And then we walked. Then we start walking together. We're in marriage now, so every day we take a step forward. We take a step forward, and it really does feel like that. I mean, it's only been 2 years, but it feels like every single day that we've taken a step forward, we've got closer together. Every single day, and those that are married will probably know. Like, you just get closer and closer, and especially going through difficult times, you get closer and closer and closer together. And that's like walking with the Father every day. Like we said, remaining in him. So if you get closer, and that relationship becomes so tight. And for me, a sign of a healthy relationship with the Lord is one that when you actually get disconnected from the Father for a while, you long for him. You actually long for him. And it's the same. You know, if I, like, I'm going to travel this week now, I'm going to go up to Malawi for some work. And, like, it's going to be hard. Like, after, you know, half a day, I'm already struggling. You know, Jean's like, I miss her, and it's going to be hard to be away from her for a whole week. And it's the same with the Father. It's like when you actually are disconnected from him for a while, there is a sense that your spirit like longs for him. And that for me is a good thing. It's saying like, Lord, like your heart is soft and it's connected to the Lord. What we do with that is also really important. But we'll get into that. There's also, in walking with Jeans, is like the challenges of, like, for example, when my bad habits come out, and I maybe, you know, like I go and buy too many plants. I love plants, you know. And like we did not plan to have all those plants, and I've gone and bought one, and then we've got to, you know. But also sometimes, I think that's like a joke, but there's also times where maybe I'm short with Jeans, and it's serious. It is serious. We got to sort out that. Finances. the finance teaching. Yeah, yeah. Gotta sort that one out. But sometimes I can be short with jeans, or you know, my sin comes out, and I sow to the flesh, and it makes walking with jeans sticky. It makes it hard. Like, we've got to sit down. We've got to process. Like, well, where did that come from? You know, why did you say that? Like, what are you? You know, maybe I'm holding that long list of things that it's so easy to hold against your spouse. Example, and then something comes out, and it's all that, you know. So that makes it tricky to walk. We're still walking, but it does make it tricky. And I think the scripture that sums this up is Hebrews 12.
Like, we did not plan to have all those plants, and we've gone and bought one, and then we've got to, you know. But also sometimes.
Okay, so therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who are the Moseses, the Abrahams, and all of those great people? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And I think sin has this way of just feeling like it's sticky. And it's like, hey, God, I've got to now sit down with you and process this thing. I can't just walk and enjoy the walk. I've got to, like, sort this stuff out. And it's a good thing. We must sort it out. But it feels like you get entangled. And, I feel like that there may be some of us that feels like specifically little sins or big sins are getting in the way of just walking freely with the Father. And he's still leaning in, he's still there, but it gets in the way and it makes it difficult. Another thing that maybe gets in the way is that I might know, like, maybe Jeans and I have agreed on something. Let's take the plants, for example. And we've agreed that, like, okay, one plant a month. I'm joking. One plant a month. No. One plant every 6 months, I think, is probably healthy for me. Thanks. Got the nod from Luke. But then I go and buy two plants. And I put it up there, and I haven't told her. And it's a small analogy. But I know that I've agreed to something with James, and I haven't held it up. And as long as I haven't told her, hey, I messed up, there is something in me that's like, even if she doesn't realize it, I feel that there's a block between me and my relationship with God. And it's the same with keeping things in the dark with the Father and with his body, because it says confess one to another as well. I think that's another area where our relationships with God can feel like they just aren't moving. So it's not like sticky sin, but it's keeping something in the dark. You never feel free. You never feel like you can just run in the glory of the Lord, because there's that one thing. A scripture to talk to that is 1 John 1, 5-7.
But then I go and buy two plants, and I put it up there, and I haven't told her. And it's like it's a small analogy, but I know that I've agreed to something with James, and I haven't held it up.
Yeah, 6. Let's read from 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. And the enemy loves things in the dark, eh? He really loves it. And this analogy is called the black dog analogy. And you might have heard me share it. The whole com knows this whole preach already. But anyway, you got a door, and you got a little puppy, and it's a little black dog. So in the dark room, you can't actually see it in there, but it's in there, and no one really knows it's in there. But you just keep feeding that little puppy. You feed it again. No one knows you're feeding it. And the problem is, as you keep feeding it, it gets so big that actually to bring it into the light becomes really difficult to do that. And so even though something might be really small at the time, the enemy wants to keep that thing in the dark. Because he knows if it keeps growing, it's going to get to a point where it's too big, and you just think, how on earth am I going to bring this thing into the light? And if it is too big, that's also possible. God can do it. We said to Danoon, they love this. And we said, just open the door and God will come in and you'll take them out. And they're like, woo! You know, it was really awesome. But I think we need to have that faith as well. Like, we need to have that faith that it doesn't matter what it is, what is in the dark, what is there, God is big enough and he is restorative enough. And we're a family. And I also wanted to say, bit of a side comment, like, guys, let's tread carefully when people share stuff with us. Like, we need to treat the stuff as if it's precious. Like Luke said, a person is precious. The thing is, a family, we need to create a space where people can share, and I've certainly made mistakes when people have shared, and so, you know, we can go and ask for forgiveness from those people, but let's tread carefully. Let's make sure that if someone is bringing something, it's also navigated to the right people that can handle those things. If you feel like it's too much for you, take it to someone that you feel can help.
Open the door, God will come in.
But that will create a family where things can be spoken about. Nothing worse than a family where things aren't spoken about.
It doesn't matter what it is, what is in the dark, what is there. God is big enough. And he is restorative.
Cool. And we're a family. And then there's and the times, going back to the gene analogy, gene and gala like marriage 101. Shame, Jesus, like feeling the pressure there. You're good, okay. Is when I think we're doing really well, and I haven't actually checked in with her, and I think she's doing well, I think I'm doing well, I'm doing things for the kingdom, doing things at work, but I don't actually know that, yeah, like our relationship with genes isn't good, and it's the same with the father. Sometimes we need to stop. I think often, regularly, it says, examine yourselves, doesn't it? I think that's what the scripture says. Examine yourselves. It says, Lord, search my own heart. Search me, Father. You know, and there should be this thing where we actually invite the Lord in regularly and say, yes, Lord, like my life is on the table. Here it is. The challenge is, then we start to live for our own lives if we don't do that. And it becomes quite a self-centered life. And it might feel good at the time, but it actually does hurt in the long run. So a scripture on that is Galatians 2:20.
And I haven't actually checked in with her.
It just says, quite simply, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a radical statement to the world. That's not easy to grasp. It's basically saying, my life is no longer my own. It is now yours, Lord. And that's a hard thing, but it's so freeing. And it's actually in that place where we will find such true freedom, is when we fully to say, Lord, not my life, but yours. And there's a trust element. We've got to trust that the Father is kind and he is loving and he knows exactly what purpose he has for us. But it is a very freeing place to say, I'm done. I'm done trying to do this on my own. And then there's kind of the last part of the extended metaphor. And it might not seem like the most dangerous, but for me, it personally is the most dangerous. It's when I start, when I'm maybe aware, like disconnected from genes for a day, and then I ignore that tug to invest back into that relationship, and it becomes 2 days, then it becomes 3 days. And this doesn't happen in our marriage necessarily, but just to say that that can be like how it is with our relationship with God, is that we hear the tug, we feel the tug, we don't lean in. Becomes 2 days, we become okay with it, we become more familiar. And if we look at that scripture about sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit, well, if we're not sowing to the spirit, then we must be sowing to the flesh. And the end result is destruction. So for me, that's actually the most urgent space to be aware of, is when you start to feel that your relationship with the Father, you're just becoming okay with it. And I prayed this week. I was like, Lord, right now I'm not really feeling you. You know, I don't feel close to you, but it is being honest about that and bringing it to the Father and sowing back to the Spirit. There's a scripture that I actually read yesterday, which I felt like the Lord really wanted to say for this specific thing, because I'm sure there's a lot of us in the room where maybe we feel like for a while we haven't felt the connection of the Father. And this is a specific scripture which really ministered to me. So Psalm 25:14.
Well, if we're not sowing to the Spirit, then we must be sowing to the flesh.
It says the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him.
So for me, that's actually the
and he makes known to them his covenant.
Urgent space.
And in another translation, it says, the secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him. And this hit me because I think I want to be able to say, know how much he loves you and all of those things. But there is something of like when you really revere someone, you really have a genuine like those really close relationships that you might have, you're not going to go and throw that person under the bus very easily. You know, you have this sense of reverence for them, and I think the same as for God is like when we're feeling far from him, we need to return back to how much is he Lord of my life? How much is he up there? And actually, it's in that fear and reverence for him that I'll find true counsel and true friendship. For anyone feeling like they're in that space, come back to know that he's on the throne, he's the Lord, and he's ruling over this earth.
And in another translation, it's
and then where most of us are, and this is the last point, so ending it here, it's just simply, we're walking with God, but we know there's more. We know there's more, we're super excited, and we want to know more of God. And so these are just some practical things that have helped me. I'm certainly not any expert, but they are just some helpful things, and maybe they trigger it, and each of us has a different relationship with the Lord. So you need to work out what your relationship with the Father is like. How it is that you talk to him, how it is that you relate to him. But here are some practical things. And I use the analogy of like a radio station. You know that when you're aware of God, it's like the music playing in the background on the radio station. And then the intro to the news comes on, and you perk up and you go, oh, okay, God's speaking. And you listen to it. And then the music starts again. And you just know God's there. For some of us, maybe we haven't turned the radio on. Like, we still need to do that. But for some of us, it maybe is just quite simply, we need to learn to hear when it is God speaking. And are we just aware that He is with us? So the first big thing that gets in the way for me personally is I just simply forget about the fact that God is with me. So I'll be at work, and I remember my first year, I work a lot in software, and it's like a dopamine hit when I'm on the laptop, because you're just working with code, and I don't know why, the software guys will know, Kev, you'll know. It's like when you solve that problem, it just, you know, it's like a dopamine hit. Yeah, Cam's there. And so I would go from 8 till, yeah, when I got home, and I would just be like in a bubble, and then I'd pop back out, and I'd get home, and I'd be like, yo, I didn't even think of the Lord once. I didn't even talk to Him and chat to Him. And so what I did was I started fasting. I fasted for the first half of the day, just the morning. And it was actually so helpful to me, because I realized that my flesh needed to be reminded of the fact that the Lord was there. So I would fast, and then by 12, like when I was hungry, I'd just be reminded of the Lord. And that was my way of doing it. But I think fasting is really powerful for that. We fast for many reasons, but to just actually crucify the flesh so that we can build that muscle of sowing to the Spirit more often. Then this is a can be a strangest one, but involving God in our conversations. Someone that has a really strong walk with the Lord, it almost feels like when you're talking with them, like God is standing there with you, and you're talking with them. And often they end with, like, okay, we've spoken about this, and then they'll end with, like, oh, thank you, Lord. Like, Lord, yeah, we so appreciate this, and a quick prayer, and then continue. And that might sound super spiritual, but actually, I think it's a profound understanding of that God is with us always, God Emmanuel, you know? And so bringing Him into our conversations, if you're having a coffee with someone, don't just talk about all the things that are happening at church or the way He used you. Also thank Him in the moment, talk to Him, invite Him in. And this leads into the opportunity, which is that if there's an opportunity to pray, pray. So I use the example of you know, you could be chatting to someone, having a cup of coffee at the beginning, everyone's caring, and this person's sharing with you, maybe they've broken their leg or something just that you can't help with, you need the Lord. You can wait until the comm leader starts comm, and then we're going to pray for him there. Or you could just quickly look like a bit of a weirdo and just pray right there and then, you know. And it's that training that muscle. If there's an opportunity to pray, I'm happy to do it right now. And I felt the Lord give me this fridge magnet, so I'll be selling them outside if you want them. But it says, it's quite simply, do not ever be too prideful to be spiritual, and too spiritual that you become prideful. And I think, yeah, there it is, fridge magnet. But do not ever be too prideful that you're willing to become, and spiritual being, you know, not doing spiritual things. But also do not let your spirituality start to build that pride in you that you think you're other than, you're better than. Cool. I'll run through a few more practical things. Identify quickly when you feel like you're sowing to the flesh. Often it's just a hard heart. If you were to ask yourself, do I really want to invite God in right now? You'd probably say no. Identifying those areas quickly when you're feeling like you've got a hard heart. Worship. I think worship is the best way to sow to the Spirit. One of the best ways. Just ask the Lord for a song. Ask the Lord for a prayer. Prayer of thankfulness. It sometimes feels like a bit of an uphill curve when you're sowing to the flesh, but it is super helpful. Another way is obedience. It's often said that if you feel like you're struggling to hear from the Lord, go back to the last thing He asked you to do. Obedience is the way that we love the Lord. It's not legalistic. It's our devotion to Him and saying, here's my life. If you also, those moments when you step out and you do maybe share something that you felt you needed to share, often the very next thing that the Lord asks you to do is the most important. It's like you can come up for prayer, but the thing He then asks you to do tomorrow, that first little thing where you hear the Lord start to tug on your heart, is like super important for breaking open what we prayed into. Listening to your spiritual cravings. There's a great sermon from someone in our comm there, their father always says this. He says, listen to the tug of the Father. You could be at work. If you feel the tug, go to the bathroom. Go have a quick moment with the Lord. Go and enjoy Him. Again, all these things, just building that muscle of walking with the Father. Sometimes it's not as easy. You feel like you're wrestling with God. It's like something, a big decision that you really need to make. And I think sometimes we cop out a bit early with the wrestle. We don't actually stay in the wrestle. Lord, I'm gonna stay in. You know, Jacob said, I'm not gonna stop until you give me the blessing. And he even broke his hip in the wrestle. But there is this thing of like, wrestle with God over those hard things when you feel like he's not speaking. But don't give up. We have a God that does speak, and he will talk. And then the last one, bad company corrupts good character. Spend time with people that you know when you leave, you want to love the Lord more. You want to love the Lord more. The Lord more, eh? Not like the world, not yourself. You just feel like, oh, Father, I'm so thankful for these friends, and I'm so thankful that they point me closer to you. So those are some quick tips. I hope they help. But to sum it up, I think it's just important that we know that to have big faith doesn't require us to have these big radical moments. It just requires us remaining in the vine, walking with him daily, and strengthening that muscle with him. The fruit of that will be that you're like, I know my Father. I know what he can do. I know who he is. And so big moments will come, scary moments will come, and you'll be like David. You'll be like, I know I can kill Goliath. But David walked with God. He knew who his Father was. He knew who his Father was. So the anxiety didn't come. The fear didn't come. I hope you feel encouraged, and I hope you feel that it's quite simple, actually. Luke, I don't know.
Yeah, so those are some tips. I hope they help. But to sum it up, I think it's just important that we know.
I said it earlier, but I do feel like there are some people that
walking with him daily and strengthening that muscle with him. The fruit of that will be that you're like, I know my Father. I know what he can do. I know who he is. And so big moments will come, scary moments will come, and you'll be like David. You'll be like, I know I can kill Goliath. But David walked with God. He knew who his Father was. So the anxiety didn't come, the fear didn't come. I hope you feel encouraged, and I hope you feel that it's quite simple, actually. Luke, I don't know.